Thank you, Minister David. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for the praise team, the welcome. Thank you for each one from Edie Hutchins right down. Thank you for your awesome blessings that you carry, that God has given you. We're here again to study his word. Thank God for the intercessory prayer. Thank the good Lord for everything. Welcome to Agape Advent Fellowship, Agape Advent Fellowship, a special place to glorify God, a special place to adore God, a place to commit that you will be the strongest believer, the strongest witness that God has on earth today. I know that we're on a journey. We're on a journey from paradise lost to paradise restored, a journey that is going up. We're on a journey that will not fail. There'll be no shipwreck. Just hold on to Jesus. And together we'll make it in the kingdom of God. Together we'll make it in. This begins a series of studies on stewardship. We'll understand what true prosperity is all about. We understand how God is mindful of each one, whether you're rich or poor, or whether you have or have not. I should not say have or have not, for all of God's children have. And some who we think don't have a lot more than those who think they have, because the bank of heaven is where the value is, the value in my life and your life is, not the Bank of America. No, not Wall Street. They're not the banks of Europe and the British Kingdom, but the bank of heaven, that's what Jesus says, will determine if you have lasting assets, assets that will last from one eternity to another. And so welcome to the series. Today you will learn about the power. Today you will learn about the power of God's presence. The power of God's presence. You will learn about the power, the effects of God's presence. You will also learn about right now, you can experience God's restoration to a fuller presence of God. And the greatest change that can happen to your life is drawing closer to God's presence. Lastly, you will see examples of how the other human beings and groups and congregations who experience the power unleashed in their life through the Holy Spirit that we can receive. And what a difference it makes when it comes to we all can glorify and honor God. Bow your heads with me. Father, as the word of God is open for the glory of God, may your word bring your presence close. May the Logos, the eternal Logos, speak. Logos that is life-giving to each one now. May heaven be open so angels can bring the blessings each one is in need of. The Holy Ghost will anoint us. May my words bring glory to you. May this message be an anointed message that will transform us all and save, make the world a better place through Jesus Christ. Amen. The message is titled, Much More, Much More Than Enough. I start by sharing with you the experience of the presence. As I mentioned, presence will run through this message the whole time. Presence. There's nothing that can equal the presence of God. When Adam came from the hands of God in his likeness, Adam and Eve, nothing equals their introduction into his presence. They are living out of his presence. They are understanding God face to face and living for him. I want to start by sharing a story, two stories about Moses today. In Exodus, what did I say? Exodus chapter 3. Listen to this. All of Moses' life, the high point has always been is the presence of God. And our high point will also be the same. The moment, the qualitative, quantitative moments we spend in God's presence. The text says in Exodus chapter 3, 2 to 6, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and look and see this great, amazing sight. Bushes burning, a fire in the bush, and no smoke. Why this bush does not burn? He wants to understand fire and no smoke. The bush is still alive. So when the Lord saw that he turned, Moses turned to look. When God saw that Moses turned to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then the Lord said, do not come any closer. Take your sandals from off your feet. Take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Amazing. In the backside of the wilderness, Mount Sinai, every day he's feeding sheep and taking care of Jethro's flock. And now he understands that the Lord is in his holy temple. Now he understands that God is speaking to him from the bush, from the fire. Fire represents God from Genesis through to Revelation. Fire represents God. It was by a pillar of fire by night that God protected Israel after the deliverance. It was a pillar of cloud by day that tell them where to go. Can you imagine the burning bush? Moses had lit many fires and he had controlled many fires, but this fire attracted him. The fire was happening in real time, but the bush was not consumed. And so fascinated and attracted as he moved towards it, he recognized that he heard the voice of the Creator, the voice of the life giver, the voice of the Redeemer, the voice of his Father's God. He said, don't come any closer. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. I want you to understand, in the midst of this pandemic and all in the midst of economic disaster, in the midst of what you are going through right now, you are in his presence on holy ground. God's presence makes a difference. Moses responded to the voice calling. The text said God called out of the fire, out of the bush. God is in control. He doesn't live in heaven alone. He's not just the transcendent God, but he's eminent. God is always close to us. If God was so close to Moses, he will bring his presence close to you right now. You can always look to him. Listen for him like Moses. And so Moses began to communicate with God. And Moses was captured by the presence of God from the bush speaking. The bush will speak to us. God can use anything to speak to you. He can use a donkey like he did to speak to Balaam, bring his presence, and to correct your life. But what a joy it is that today we know God is with us, and God wants us to experience like Moses' presence. Fast forward in Exodus chapter 34. What did I say? Exodus 34. Fast forward with me. Chapter 28. This same Moses later on in life, who was acquainted now with the presence of God, was invited by God in verse 28 to come up to Sinai. So he was there, verse 28, he was there, Moses of the burning bush, Moses who knew the presence of God. And everyone who expects to be saved in God's kingdom should know when God is near. You should know God's presence. With all your degrees and all your education and all your qualifications and all that you teach, you're a family maker. I want you to know that the most important thing in life is to understand a journey with the presence and power of God. God's presence is crucial to your success in stewardship, in the management of life, in existing in God's sphere, in fulfilling your highest purposes, God's will for you, and in living out divine purposes. So he was there with the Lord for how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate nor drank. As he wrote down what God told him, the 10 words or the 10 commandments. Moses is there with God. He's enjoying God's presence. He's worshiping God. He's listening to God. He wasn't writing the whole time. The 10 commandments is only one page. It's an easy task for any student in primary school or elementary school to write a whole page. But he was spending time with God. When you spend a whole lot of time with God and you are in his presence, something happens. What happened? Look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, and now it was so when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the tables of the testimony or covenant of God, the law, that Moses did not know. Please note, Moses did not recognize. He did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. What was it shining with? Look at verse 30. So when Aaron, his brother, and the children of Israel saw Moses and beheld the skin of his face shone, they were afraid. And the people began to think it was God was coming, and they said, no, we're not ready for God yet. Said Moses, but it was Moses. So Moses had to put on a veil. Verse 35, whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses put the veil on his face again until he went to speak back again with God. Think of how awesome it is that you, like Moses, when you spend time in God's presence, your life will reflect. People will see and know that you've been with Jesus. People will know that you're spending quality time with God. It makes a difference when you live on earth. Anywhere on earth you are, anywhere in America, anywhere in Jamaica, anywhere in the world, anywhere in Africa, anywhere in Europe, people will know the difference when they see you, that something is going on. You are coming, you're living out of the presence of God. Your life is being lived with and out of the presence of God like Moses. And you will have that great joy. You can't spend too much time with God. When was the last time you hungered and thirst for God, like Psalm 84 says? Your heart, your flesh cry out for the living God to be near him and to be close. God created us. I want you to remember in Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he made. We were created by God, and it was very good. God created us by his presence. He created this world by his power, his presence. And in verse 25, 26, God made man, 26, 27, God made man. Let us make man in our image, out of his presence. In our likeness, he said, let them have dominion. Let them manage. Let them have stewardship over the fish, the sea, the birds, the air, everything, every creeping thing. Let them manage the earth. So God created man in his own image. That means Adam and Eve. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Not just Adam was created in the image of God, but Eve. Chapter 2 explains it. It's one creation story with an explanation in chapter 2. Made them male and female, and God blessed them. Adam and Eve were created in the presence of God to enjoy God's presence. Before sin, they saw God face to face. The Bible says they were naked, but not ashamed, because they were covered with the glory of God. Just as Moses shone with the presence of God's glory, Israel saw him, and they said his face shone. There was the shining of his face was a reflection of his time with God. You want to make a difference. You want to look different. You don't need Mary Kay. Mary Kay will make you look, you know, for the shows. But if you want to look for heaven and look different, really to make a difference, you need to spend time with God. Yes, the text says that God created us by his to celebrate his presence, to carry his presence, to enjoy the earth, to reflect God in nature, to be like, to do his will, to reproduce, to fill the earth, to take charge, to manage, to have dominion. His presence was abundance. Everywhere in the pristine creation before sin, God's presence was abundance. You could see it in the flower. You could see it in the air. You could see it in the fruit, in the food, as Adam and Eve walked in this world before sin. It was so awesome, so special. But sin came. Satan wanted, like he did in heaven, while he was cast out of heaven, he wanted the worship. He didn't want the presence of God to be worshipped. He didn't want God and Christ to be worshipped. He wanted the worship for himself. He wanted angels to break away, rebel, worship him. He wanted the honor, the love. He wanted the money. That's what he wants from people today, wherever you are. He wants your time. Satan wants your time. He wants your money. He wants your family. And he wants to take you right down to hell. But thank God for Jesus Christ. And thank God. What are the effects of the power of God's presence? We see it in with Adam and Eve, joyous. When they sinned, they recognized the loss of the presence, that and they had to be restored. Had to be restored, and God taught them restoration. But back to the to Moses, the key God figure today, Moses. In chapter 36, Moses descends. He brings the table, the two tables of stone with the Ten Commandments, representing from the presence of God, love, the covenant that was to be placed in the Ark of the Covenant. He brings the commandments to them, and he also brings the appeal, as God had reminded them, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God has always wanted to dwell with his people, especially after they had been beaten up by slavery in Egypt for over 400 years. He wanted to guide them on a path of experiencing a new life, a brand new opportunity. He had delivered them through the opening the Red Sea. He had miraculously fed them with manna from heaven every day, complete nutrition. Food from God, brought every daily for 40 years. Now, God wanted them to learn how to enjoy his presence. And the sanctuary was supposed to be a symbol of what it is to spend time with God. And so the work of the sanctuary was to be built. They were moving tabernacle and this. So when Moses spoke to Israel and they looked to him, they saw in him the presence of God. Everything Moses said, they were willing to do. They were already united, galvanized, and the people were ready to give themselves for the worship of God, for the praise of God. Moses asked them to bring an offering for the sanctuary, to bring gifts in chapter 35, to bring their skills, their talents, their song, and to unite with the master architects, etc. And in verse 36, what happened? In chapter 36, this is what happened. And they received from Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the building and the making of the sanctuary. In verse chapter 4 of 36, then all the craftsmen who were all the work of the sanctuary, doing the work of the sanctuary, came, each from what they were doing. And they said to Moses, the people bring much more. How much do people bring? Much more offering. Much more than enough for the service of the Lord. When people encounter God's presence and the stewardship and leadership of God's presence, they bring much more than enough. And so guess what? Moses had to give an order to cause the people to stop. And he said, let neither man nor woman bring offering to the sanctuary. The people were restrained from bringing because they had all that they needed to establish the sanctuary to represent God in their journey, their place of growing and worship and community, intimate community, taking their personal community to the larger celebration of the intimacy. They were stopped. Can you imagine your congregation or your family saying, we have enough, more than enough? I can understand. If you spend time with God, you will understand. If you experience the power of God's presence like Moses, if you worship him, you cannot worship him enough. If you love him, if you give yourself and dedicate your life to him over and over again, you can't do it enough because he made you. You belong to him. That's what you should do. Your life will be better. Your career will be better. You'll be able to steer the devil down and say, look, I am living my life in the presence of God and by the power of his presence and the abundance of his presence, and I will overcome. I will overcome. Everything, your giftedness, your resources, your talents, everything you got belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24:1, and the fullness thereof. the world and they that dwell therein. Quickly fast forward with me, Romans chapter 6, 23. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life comes from the presence of God, and when you have eternal life, you have a foretaste of God, a connection to God's presence for life. The text says the gift of God is eternal life. Sin will always lead to death. Satan's sin is going to lead to death. Demons and angels falling in, their sin will lead to death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God cannot be bought in the Bank of Jamaica, America, Bank of Africa, Bank of Europe. The gift of God is a gift through Jesus Christ. The gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. That's the gift you need. And this gift will help you to enjoy God's presence every day, through prayer, through worship. It will make you love Him more. You'll make you want to worship Him, make you more productive, more prosperous, make you enjoy life, and give service to God. The first 2,000 years before the flood, this earth was full of gold and treasures and jewels. The jewels are not, you didn't have to dig for gold before the flood. Gold was upon the earth. Men didn't have to fight for gold or search, fly a plane to get gold. It was all there. But after the flood, the gold and the precious things were buried under the earth. That's why now people have to dig to find gold. Just like the great Titanic that sunk, when people want to find the gold in it, they still have to search, go down in the ocean to search for it. But everything was available. God, in creating us, providing not just His presence, but every good thing for us, we had a lot more, much more than we needed. And when God asks us for more, we can do it, because we can never match, our much more can never match God's much, much more. I have good news today. For a few minutes left, we can be restored today. What Adam and Eve had, we don't have to be jealous of them. We have in Christ Jesus. I say amen, what about you? The text that Larry read so beautifully reminds us that the presence that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God before sin, in spite of sin, we can enjoy as well. And as you open John's gospel, John chapter 15, you will agree with me that these blessings are yours and you can be restored now. Restoration to God's full presence right now. Would you like it? Just touch your heart and raise your hand to heaven and raise that prayer. Listen what the text says. In case you missed it when Larry was reading, listen what it says, and I'll go up to verse 3. I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. And Jesus says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so it can bring more fruit. It can bear more fruit. When you're involved in God's presence, God expects more of you. More example, more worship, more love, more kindness, more protection of His creation, and especially when it comes to people, more love, unconditional love and grace. Yes, listen what is said here in verse 3. You are already clean. Sinners are already clean because of the word which God has spoken. Hallelujah. He has power in the word of the Logos. The same word is Logos, but not the capital Logos like Christ, who is the word with God, who spoke the world into existence. Then the text says, abide. Listen to that word, abide in me. It's talking about enjoying God's presence. Intimacy in God's presence. Abide with me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. Unless you abide in me. Again, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides, the one who abides in me, the one who comes into my presence through the word, through the Holy Ghost, through receiving the gift of eternal life, that one will bear much fruit. Will bear how much? Much more fruit. You'll be more productive in church leadership, more productive in your home, more productive in your life and your dreams. You'll be more productive on earth. You will reflect that the glory of God is upon you. You will reflect that you love God. You will reflect to the world there's a better way to behave. There's a better life, a life that is destined out of this world for life with God. Verse 7 says, I don't want to read verse 7. Yes, if you abide, if you keep abiding in his presence and you keep listening to his word, the Logos, and the Logos abide in you. Notice, not just in his presence, but his Logos has to be in you. You must feed on the word of God. You will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done. Amen? You ask God. Many times we ask the wrong people. Ask God first, and then he will tell you how to ask others. And verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified. How do we glorify God more? By bearing much more fruit. How do we bear more fruit? By spending more time in God's presence, like Moses. By spending more time with God, by enjoying God, by taking instruction from him, by letting God write in our hearts the law, his counsel, his wisdom, a vision for the future. The Ten Commandments was a source of God's majestic love, supreme love for God that man has, and then man's love for his fellow man. God will write other things in our hearts and in our lives, wisdom, excellence, victory over sin, and growing closer to him because we abide in him. I say amen. How about you? Restoration now. Malachi 3:10 quickly tells us something about, we may have to stop here. Next week we'll pick up. Malachi 3:10 tells us, so there is much more. Stewardship is a story about totality with God. It's a much more because God gave us much more. When God made Adam and Eve, he gave him much more than he could handle. And when God restores us, he gives us much more than we deserve. God takes nothing. A sinner is nothing. Say to yourself, I'm nothing. God takes a sinner and make a sinner a saint, a child of God, a joint heir with Christ. Now, Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, was raised up to call Israel back to return to God. And when he said return to God, listen what the message was. He said, return to me in verse 7. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. When God says something is important. And then they said, in what way shall we return? And verse 8 we are told. But verse 10, let me start with the blessing first. Verse 10. Bring all the tithes. Bring all the tithes. You hear this every time there's collection in the church. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Not some. All the tithe must come. Every tithe belongs to God because the tithe does not belong to me or to you. It belongs to God. Bring all the tithe. And listen what happens when you bring all the tithe to the storehouse. God said, prove me or try me, says the Lord. The Lord is speaking, says the Lord of hosts, the one who's in charge of the armies of heaven, which you cannot count. He says, I will open the windows of heaven. Not for the church. The tithe goes to the store of the church, but God opens the windows of heaven for you. I will open the windows of heaven for you. Put your name right there. When was the last time God opened the windows of heaven for you? And I will pour out for you, again you, that's personal. You and your nation, that there shall not be room enough. You won't have room enough because God has much more to give you than you can ever experience. Much more health, much more vision, much more prosperity. If a person goes to sleep worried all night and you have money, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of wealthy people are ready to jump off a cliff because they have money. They have money. They have everything they have, but they don't have God. They don't have the presence of God. Some poor people don't sleep at night too because they worry. Now, when you have the presence of God, rich or poor, you have the wealth of heaven. and you have nothing to really worry about because you have eternal life. You can live with God. These blessings say much more. You don't have enough room. If you build a mansion, you don't have enough room to receive the blessings of God, because God is a God of much more than enough. And we are to serve God as a much more than enough God. And we must experience much more than enough of his presence, of his worship, of loving him and living for him. Very briefly, I want you to understand that he will rebuke. Verse 11 says, God himself will protect you. He will rebuke the devourer, Satan. He will protect what you have. All nations will call you blessed. But I must mention this to you. Sin is robbery and thief. Thievery is sin. It's against the commandment. And here the word is used, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. So you can't get the blessing. How did you rob God? In tithes and an offering. Tithe represents a global gospel ministry from the storehouse. Offerings represent local development for your community. The church as a lighthouse in the community. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Anyone in the nation, the whole nation. I want to tell you today, some people are living with a curse because they have moved away from the abundance of God's presence. They need to move back into much more, a place of much more than enough. Spending time with God. For stewardship is a totality. They need to move like Abraham. Everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar for God because of the presence of God. Everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar. He was returning tithe long before the sanctuary, long before in Genesis. Tithe did not begin in Exodus. It began in the dominion of creation. Jacob, I'll tell you that story another time because we are out of time. The Leviticus, in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit filled the people at Pentecost, the Bible said they had much more than enough, and they gave more. They spent time in the power of the Holy Ghost and the presence of God. I raised my hands to heaven today and said, Lord, help me to spend more time with you. Help me to know more about the power of your presence. Help me to reflect you. And help me, Lord, to experience even more than Moses, the restoration now through Jesus Christ. And bless everyone who's hearing me in Jesus' name. Amen.